Record button.
Hello and welcome to the Spiritual Solopreneur podcast. Today, my guests are Annie Browning and Anne Marie Early, founders of Common Awakening. As trained psychotherapists and seminary graduates, with over 50 years of combined clinical and applied experience, Annie and Anne Marie have developed a step-by-step change process to help people grow beyond limitation and expand awareness without bypassing the challenges of life. They use psycho-spiritual tools to help their clients embrace intuition, receive guidance from a wiser source, uncover unconscious patterns that get in the way, and reorient their life toward what they call embodied transcendence. Hello, Annie and Anne Marie. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
So
Wonderful to be
awesome.
here.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to talk to you about embodied transcendence and other things, but I thought we'd just talk about you guys for a sec. You both have such interesting backgrounds, seminary graduates and psychotherapists, both. How did you come together and meld those backgrounds together and come up with the spiritual business, Common Awakening?
Well, I'll start and say we have similar backgrounds, but we also bring very different gifts to the table, which is also partly why we work together and complement one another. But we did meet in a very serendipitous way. We ended up kind of forming this connection through word of mouth and then discovered that we had actually crossed each other's paths. I think, Anne Marie, it was maybe 15 or 20 minutes or 20 years earlier.
Oh,
And so
wow.
we had this moment of realizing that we had known each other, through these previous connections. But I'll speak for myself. I've always been interested in sort of the transpersonal intersection between spirituality and psychology. And of course, both have, unique perspectives and offerings that inform the other. And yet I've often found myself kind of at that intersection in between. But Amory, maybe you have some other ways of just describing our connection and even how we started Common Awakening.
Well, what a beautiful way to start, just in kind of using serendipities and synchronicities to bring us together, because that's a big part of our work. And I would just say for me, it really was my work. I've always felt like I'm a healer at heart. And so finding within the culture what was available to me, which was the psychotherapy path and becoming a professor and a therapist and being really curious, but also feeling that there was an edge that people would hit up against. And it felt like there had to be something more. So it was my own explorations personally, as well as professionally, that led me into a place where I began to say yes to things like intuition and knowing from a wiser source, which within my kind of professional purview isn't kind of the language that we're taught to speak from. But there was a truth there. And so meeting Annie in that synchronous way, there was just a familiarity in the way that we worked, even though we have very different giftings, that let us know that there was something that was rising in the world, yes, within us, but something rising in the world that was inviting us to begin working with people in a different way. And then the challenge is, how do you do that without bypassing some of the real struggles that are in people's lives and in the world? And so we really kind of dug down and listened deep and began to offer to the people who came to us a way of beginning to work differently from this psycho-spiritual blend, and also kind of the uniqueness that both of us brought.
Yeah, I really noticed that part in the introduction about expanding awareness without bypassing the challenges of life. That really jumped out at me. Why is that so important? I mean, most of the time I think people are trying to grow spiritually so they can bypass the challenges of life.
Well, and I think you're naming, Bev, that typically spirituality has had sort of, it can feel a little bit airy-fairy, very effervescent, can have a sort of a breathy quality. And so we do focus on bringing spirituality really down to earth in a direct and applied way without reducing the magic of spiritual experiences. And we talk about not bypassing because actually in our greatest pains, even points of suffering, is that generative light that can begin to actually grow and illumine us as spiritual beings in these human bodies. And so we bring a balanced perspective at Common Awakening, where we want to grow spiritually and also acknowledge the unconscious material that is part of all of us. And rather than looking to get rid of it, it becomes like the very fodder for us to grow.
Exactly.
And I might just offer one more kind of reflection to that is often people go to therapy because they want to get past a stuckness, but it doesn't give them that capacity to connect to something wiser, or people, you know, seek the spiritual path and they really do want to get out of this feeling of kind of the mundane and where they're stuck. So just to point us towards that intersection between the two, what we call embodied, this human experience, and what is transcendent. And just to point us into our culture, this expanded awareness really is where the field, kind of the edge of the field at large is, that when we actually enter a different space, a different way of perceiving, it actually shifts how we feel, but also how we see the world around us. And so the curiosity becomes, well, how do we help people get into that wiser space in a way that helps them not just bypass, but actually engage their lived experience? And I would say that's part of the magic of what we bring at Common Awakening.
Well, and we are here to learn lessons, are we not? We are here to overcome, to experience challenges. We're here to experience the extremes that are offered here. So it's, you want to experience both in some way.
And it's purposeful. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. We are human. Yes.
Yes. Partially, anyway.
Yes.
So embodied transcendence, what are we transcending? Are we transcending barriers, or are transcending our stuckness?
You know, I would say sometimes we think it's really big, a big thing that we're transcending. And often it's actually simply the stories and facets of ourself, even our perceptions of limitations that we self-create. And it doesn't mean, I don't want to discount that there's very real suffering and challenge and difficulty in the world that can feel like it has come at us or it's happening to us. And yet really what we often are seeking to transcend isn't as big as the mind makes it to be. And it often really is, as Anne-Marie said, about shifting our perspective and our position, getting out of our own way sometimes, getting out of our own heads, and entering that wiser, more expanded state where we actually realize that the limitations that are so big in our minds are actually just a small step to experience a different way of being.
Blips, actually, you can actually get over. I think part of it is just realizing or believing that you can get over these things.
Absolutely. Having that perspective that it's possible. And then I would say having a strategy, a way of actually entering into this different landscape. And all of us know that kind of when you meet life head on, you get back exactly what you're meeting. And so that's where a lot of that kind of stuckness and that kind of repetitive looping that we can get into personally, but we also see it in the world at large. And so what are our strategies, or what is a way that we can use to help us to actually enter into this different way of perceiving, of seeing, so that we can, I mean, if you just think about transcendence, it's really kind of getting past into something different in a very tangible way. And so we work with people in actually how they do that, not just conceptually, but when they face a challenge or when life really does throw them a curveball, what is the system that they can go to be able to do that embodied transcendence in their life?
Exactly. You said getting past the challenges. So not bypass, go through, I suppose, and get to the other side one way or another. So tell me about your model and what it consists of, what the spiritual states are all about. It's a very open-ended question.
Beautiful. Well, I would just begin, and Annie, I'll let you pick up afterwards. But this is partly, you know, we can talk about this big concept of embodied transcendence, but it's just, you know, very pertinent. How do we actually help people begin to apply this in their life? And so our spiritual states map is actually a navigational tool that people can use to begin to feel the different energies and movements that are either active in their life, maybe actually leading the show and they need to step back a little bit, or maybe aren't even present in their life. And so many psychological instruments actually put us into categories and help us to kind of name who we are in the world. And that can be tremendously helpful. But what we do with our spiritual states map is we name four basic states or energies that each one of us are really called to have in our life. And when we do, it allows a kind of balance that helps us to actually live in a different way, to actually begin to allow this expansion to happen naturally and for us to meet the world in a different way. And so we help people to find their entrance point on the map. We call it a primary spiritual state. Then we help them to figure out kind of what their how is and how they go about living in life. That's a different energy than some of the things we avoid because of our life circumstances. We call that our balancing energy. We've got some really good reasons for not engaging that energy. And then possibly some of these places where there's almost a vacancy and we need to step into that. So there are these four basic states, and we help people to find their place and actually use this tool to navigate into greater balance. But maybe you can say more about that and kind of illuminate some of those qualities, Annie.
So it is a spiritual tool or a spiritual model. And so in that way, it is focused on embodied transcendence. And you could think of what makes it spiritual is these states are often what provides meaning and purpose and value and a sense of sort of a primary mindset or a way of perceiving the world. Again, that kind of gives us back that idea of something matters to us. So when we start to encounter all four spiritual states, that is the mechanism then for transcendence without stepping out of our bodies and bypassing. And it often means that we start to look at what's outside of our awareness, what's unconscious to us. That's what Anne-Marie was talking about with that balancing state and that absenting state. But the big why is because when we are in balance with these four spiritual energies, we often can have a sense of equanimity, like an evenness of composure, a capacity to stay present in life's challenges, an ability to really see beyond just personal circumstances into a more meta perspective that, again, expands us into the world. And that's why we developed the model. That's why we use the model, because it really provides that tangible tool to help people begin to enter that more expanded state. Whereas if we said, just go into an expanded state, it sounds nice, but it's like, how do you do it? And so this is the model that can walk you through each of the steps to find that balance and that equanimity that we are so longing for, especially as our world becomes more uncertain.
So once you've discovered your primary state, that's sort of the benchmark or the place to start. And then you guys kind of meet the person where they're at within that and kind of go from there is what it sounds like.
Each person's map is different because they have a different entrance point. And so absolutely. And you could start anywhere on the map that you wanted to, but it's most comfortable to start with what's most known to us. And also what has allowed us to have spiritual experiences before or psycho-spiritual awarenesses. It's like the doorway that we enter in through. But for all of us, we avoid what is uncomfortable. And so that is part of why the map isn't just explanatory. And it isn't just talking about this as a spiritual process. It's actually helping you to take this tool and begin to apply it to your life and to know that it's more than just cognitive. And maybe you want to say more about this, Annie, but when we work with these energies, we're actually opening into something larger, this expanded space where perception really does shift. And there is, I would say, a consciousness that's bigger than us that is actually active and helping people to move through the map in some really applied and transformational ways. But I'm going to pass it off to you, Annie, just maybe some things that you might name about that process.
You know, Bev, I think you already kind of hinted at this, that we're not really looking at types when we explore the spiritual states, because these are energies that are already present in our world and they are present within us. And Anne-Marie's describing part of our process is that we begin to connect with the idea of sort of the mind that's beyond the mind. You know, we talk about the quantum mind or this information field, the relational group field that is very much part of our process when we work with the spiritual map. Those sound like big words, but at the heart of it, what we are teaching and sort of supporting people to walk through is to begin to encounter an expanded awareness that transcends their own mind, and they start to tap into or connect with this larger field that holds us all. And of course, a lot of this can be measured, and even there's many theories and other models around sort of this larger information field that we're tapping into. But to simplify it, you can think of when you connect with the spiritual state that feels perhaps very personal to you, you are also connecting with a spiritual state that is universal. And when we start to connect with both what is personal and universal, and we even start to expand our awareness beyond our bodily sensations, we begin to have some of these really exceptional spiritual experiences that give us that feedback as well, that we are part of something that is really beyond ourselves. And that also, of course, amplifies and grows our spiritual experience and also our own psychological development.
Awesome. And Anne-Marie touched on the idea of using this information and all in the spiritual states and so on in everyday life. And to me, that's super important. I took your quiz, which is a lovely little quiz on your website. It's quick and easy to fill out, but powerful. And I discovered that I'm a stabilizer, which I was quite surprised initially until I saw your video where you interpret that and it showed all the characteristics. And I looked at it and went, oh yeah, that tracks. That's totally me. You nailed it on that. But one of the primary characteristics, of course, is someone who has a perspective of practicality. And I was laughing because I'm always thinking to myself, when I'm reading about or talking about spiritual things and growing spiritually and so on, it's always in the back of my mind, yeah, but how does this help me pay my mortgage? How do we, it sounds like your process definitely takes this into consideration, actually using this information in life, in everyday life to help.
Absolutely. I would say that we're passionate about that. And just because you kind of brought forward that you're a stabilizer, Bev, this is going to be your orientation in the world. Yeah. Actually be working with you in your map to help you to open up to some other energies that maybe you've had a taste of, or, you know, you have some familiarity with, but remembering that our goal is we want you to have all four of those. And so in that, we are helping you to both do that embodiment and actually bring it into your everyday experience. And we give you tools to be able to do that. We provide guidance in that process. And then also to be able to connect into what is beyond. And it's really that conversation between those different kind of realms or ways of being that bring the map alive, because it really is about balance. But I would just speak from my own experience and say, as a practitioner or as somebody who really is passionate about helping people to how to live this in their life and actually make it have some on the ground benefits, I would say particularly for some of the different positions on the map, that's going to really be the most important starting place is giving people those tools and those ways of actually feeling things differently. And just one example would be, just because we're talking about expansion, is, you know, so many of us know that we ruminate a lot, right? And we have these thoughts that go around, and we
i.e. worry.
All these
nice
different
word
kinds
for
of
worry.
Shapes and sizes. And what we know is that you know, that's the default mode network, and that the more you try to calm it down or tell it to quiet, right, the louder it gets. So when we enter into these expansion experiences, what happens is we actually go into this place of hyperconnectivity where things can begin to quiet down. And when Annie's talking about this larger field, these new potentials begin to arise. I might use the word guidance shows up and comes in these different ways beyond the five senses. We really want to train people to begin to listen into this. When they do, they're not just meeting the challenges of how do I pay my bills from that concrete place. They're actually allowing the space where that ruminative default mode network goes quiet to create new connectivity, literally in the brain. New ideas come forward, new awarenesses of potentials. And then what we want to do is be able to take that to know rightness, to be able to feel what is right and what isn't. And then from that place to bring it into the everyday. And just speaking clinically, working with people, you know, for decades, when you try to change something head on, you often get more of what you don't want. And so this expansion and using the map is really giving you a tool to enter into a different space that has a different kind of wisdom and awareness. And from that place, we then bring it back into our lived experience.
That's so awesome. Is the wisdom coming from inner wisdom? Would you
You know,
say?
I would say both and. Of course, we don't always know where wisdom is coming from. And of course, there's many different even definitions of wisdom. So we have all of our different sort of operational ideas of what wisdom is. And of course, yes, our own inner wisdom is a source, but what we're talking about with the kind of expanded states of awareness is we're starting to access more of a universal wisdom that is sort of beyond ourselves. Many spiritual teachers talk about it as listening in with into the ear of the universe, like having the ear of the universe come through you. And so, you know, we could say it's listening into the collective. It's listening into something that, again, is universal, both within us and around us. But often we limit, in my perspective, we limit our capacity for our own track of wisdom, and we get sort of one corner, but we do not necessarily or ever will see the whole. And part of balancing out these all four of these states is we start to access information that was outside of our awareness. So we'll go back to paying the bills. You know, we could look at paying the bills from all four of those spiritual energies, and they're going to have slightly different nuanced approaches. Not better or worse or right or wrong, but we start to again see things in a radically different way. That again, the mind has its pretty narrow, you know, sort of filter on what we perceive. When we open into these other four energies, we simply see, perceive, know, feel, taste, touch more from our second senses.
Well, the brain is there to supposedly protect us. So that's its job, according to it. But protect us from what is another story.
Well, and our brains are go ahead, Emery. We're saying the same thing.
I was just going to say, so, you know, our brains are more than one thing. And just, you know, part of my research and study for many years was looking at the difference between right and left hemisphere processing. And we really do relegate the right hemisphere, which is the non-cognitive, intuitive, open scanning, non-languaged awareness, kind of giving it the back seat. And this left hemisphere, which is rational, languaged, narrow, focused, is really in our culture what we say, you know, is the leader. Well, you know, there's a lot of research that says actually we've got the two of those backwards. And the wise master is actually the right hemisphere, which is this intuitive knowing, which I would actually expand beyond that, but it's a starting place. And then the left hemisphere is meant to translate and to put things into practice and to help us to categorize and you know, save glucose for our brain. So we're not, you know, always, you know, challenged. And so we're really playing into those spaces of retraining ourselves. Now, there are some traditions who are excellent at listening into that right hemisphere expanded state, and they use it for some practical places. And I would say many indigenous traditions have used that kind of knowing as a real wisdom. I would say in my own personal life, and also in kind of the world that is around me, learning to say yes to that and learning how to listen to that and really listen to the cues that are there and to know that there are unconscious processes that are active within me and within the world that keep me from sensing into this broadness, that I need support. And this is partly why we have the map and a community that walks together, is we need support to begin to open into this, you know, greater, more expanded awareness, and then have skills to bring back from that place, not just our good free-floating ideas that might not be the best, but the discernment to know what really is right and what fits in my life, in my context at this time, and in the right way.
You mentioned support. So I would come to you, I need support. Typically, what kind of support are people looking for?
So we primarily offer support in mostly virtual capacities, but we do offer some in-person engagements, especially our live retreats. But if you are looking for support, you know, first of all, we have a vast array of resources that people can complete at their own time and their own pace. And they do focus on embodied transcendence or some facet of that theme. We focus over and over again on psycho-spiritual growth. So bringing those two elements together in how we support people. And then we have many programs that offer direct live calls with us, you know, engagements to actually sit with us in that field that we're talking about, you know, experience some expansion. And also we have ample opportunity, as Anne-Marie was saying, to bring forward what has risen in this experience. I mean, how do we actually apply it in our everyday life? And how can we trust our own inner navigation on the inside to know what is right for our own life and our own experience? And I'll say, you know, we develop programming at Common Awakening, but really it's our steady and solid presence with our participants that I would say is one of our ways that we lead, in that, you know, there's not much that rocks us. I think Anne-Marie would agree. And some of that comes from our training and our personal experiences. But if you're really looking to, you know, sit with just some solid practitioners in a supportive environment, we provide the container and the energetic sort of impetus to sit in that way with us.
So are most of your clients looking for spiritual growth, or are they looking for manifestation of stuff, or a little bit of both?
That's a great question. I would say, you know, it crosses the spectrum, but I would say the kind of the typical participant is interested in growth, broadly speaking. So it could be more on the kind of psycho-spiritual. It could just be more on the spiritual. But often the seekers that find us and stick with us really are committed to a kind of growth that lasts over the long haul and is transformational in nature. So yes, that things manifest. Yes, that people can actually begin to access and work with their second senses, which is this expanded seeing, hearing, knowing, sensing. But it's not just for kind of the passing fancy, that people are really committed to a kind of growth. And we say, when you change yourself, you change the world. And so we invite people into our program to really create, and it kind of can sound like a woo-woo word, but to shift vibrationally, knowing that when you change, when I change, when I start living from a different state, in a different way in the world, oh yes, it's going to benefit me and my life is going to become better. But my literal influence on the world around me is going to have a beneficial impact. And so I would say we want to support the individual, absolutely, but we are really committed to a kind of leadership where people begin to live differently in the world so that this kind of change starts to ripple out beyond the individual. Anything else you would say about that, Annie? Because we're really passionate about this. This is really important.
So I would say two things, and one doesn't sound good to the ears, but I'm going to say it anyway. Anne-Marie and I intentionally manifest that people that are ready to do deep work would come to us, and those that might just sort of be a flyby or just interested in something temporary, that they find their place in another good spot in the world. And it doesn't mean we say no to in an overt way, but we really say, if you're ready to do some of that deep work that changes the world, then come and sit with us. And then secondly, this is anecdotal, but you know, we've run retreats every year for the past 8 years that we've worked together. And classically, what we hear from the people who come to our retreats and also our program is, where did you find these people? These are just really good people that you would just,
These are the
you know,
perfect people. How did
yeah.
that happen?
Not that they're perfect. We're not perfect with the leaders
No,
either, but
no.
this that there that this is just kind of a solid place, and that people seem really genuine and authentic, and there's an integrity that comes, and that people are really engaging in a very particular way, and we're so grateful for that in our work. And for those of you listening, you may have that own sense that you're looking for a community that's really authentic and down to earth, but also expanded and open spiritually. And that's really what we provide, a common awakening. And I might
Awesome.
just add one more thing to say, and you don't have to be perfect. So let us
Yes.
underscore that.
No,
People will say,
I didn't mean that. A
No.
perfect match. That's what I meant.
Yes. I was just, people will often say, and this is really important, they'll say, I feel like maybe I'm not spiritually evolved enough, or, you know, it seems like I don't have the skills that it really is a commitment that people make, but that we have people across the spectrum. And so we don't have any expectation that people are skilled or able or have some sort of skill set that they bring. Like, we will walk with you and we will support you to get there. It's really that soulful commitment to that deep work.
Awesome. Anne-Marie, you also mentioned vibration a minute ago. I gotta ask you about your take on the Great Earth Reset and the ascension and the raising of the vibration that is, I guess, happening, 3D to 5D and all that kind of stuff. What's your take on it? Is it going to have an effect in my everyday life? Is it going to affect my mortgage?
Well, you know, let's both take a stab at this, Annie, because we probably have some ways of talking about this. But I would maybe begin by saying, you don't even have to have a spiritual inkling to feel that something is moving in our world. And we have known for a long time that we are in a period on our planet where it's transitional. And again, many indigenous teachings for thousands of years have pointed towards this time as being critical. Some of my early teachers were very clear that this was not going to be a comfortable time because it's a time of dismantling and a reforming. People have used all kinds of different language from Mayan calendars to the Aquarian age. I mean, you can talk about it from whatever tradition you come to, but just to say we can all feel that something is moving in our world. And so, from my own personal perspective, I would say part of the reason we are all here, that we chose to be here on this planet at this time, is that we have a higher call and purpose for why we are here. And it is time to listen in to that wisdom and to begin living from a different place so that our world, the connection to this larger space around us, even just nature and what we know is happening on our planet, just with kind of how the earth is doing, that there is a different kind of being in relationship with our lived experience that we're really being invited into. And so, absolutely, it is not a two-dimensional world. We live in this interconnected matrix. It is amazing to watch how science is leading us into this place and kind of giving us some relief of being able to talk about quantum spaces and kind of how things aren't what we actually think they are, and time isn't what we think on that kind of linear timeline, and that there really is something that we can connect to that is bigger and wiser and present in our experience. And I would go so far as to say it is an offer and an opportunity. It is not a coercion, which is why I feel so passionate. Even though sometimes it's a risky thing to do. I mean, professionally, to talk about vibration, to talk about being an intuitive and how I see and hear in particular ways that my profession doesn't necessarily recognize, it is a challenge to do that, but it is incredibly important to me because if we don't learn to listen and to live in that way, we won't be able to respond to the call that is there. So in that way, it is my larger yes, even when sometimes people might kind of look askance at me and be wondering about that. It really is. It is the purpose for why I'm here. But I know, Annie, you'll have a different, we'll get to the same place, but you might have some other words to wrap around the experience from your own perspective.
Well, I always want to start with a position of saying we do not know. And that's really important because as we shift into a time of potential great uncertainty, even our bandwidth to live in uncertainty and what is unknown, at least in my opinion, is part of the invitation that is perhaps facing our planet and our people and our consciousness. Our illusion that everything is secure and solid and predictable and never changing is an illusion. So the more we live into these edges of really in the present moment, living into the edges that we are creating our reality and we are part of creating our planet and even creating the consciousness shift that is potentially upon us, allows us to step into it. And as Anne-Marie said, it's an opportunity rather than something to be avoided. Or to resist even. And I would say two things. This is my own sense, and I come from a place of inquiry and curiosity. But there is a capacity in all of us to know that we are absolutely okay as we are in every moment of every day, no matter what happens to us. And that solidness on the inside that is unaffected, it's in relationship with our circumstances, but truly can find a centered position on the inside, I believe is part of also the consciousness shift that's really invitational in our planet, so that we no longer see ourselves as bound by external circumstances, but oriented by an inner position. And then, you know, the second one I mentioned sort of working with the unknown, but the second piece I really want to illumine is that moving into a greater dimensional awareness. You called it 2D to 5D. And a 5D perspective, it can be taught and it can be acquired. It can be trained to begin to see and perceive even that which we would call kind of form and concrete in our world in a radically new way. You know, let's take a mortgage as an example. You know, on one level, we can see it as an exchange of money. On another level, it is so much more that can begin to open. And that's partly what I perceive is coming forward in our world, to begin to see things outside of just the flatness of one dimension into the multi-dimensions that Anne-Marie mentioned is primarily about interconnection, a place of unity and oneness. An experience in which we are not alone, a knowing that there are different realms that we are in relationship with, and allowing that perspective to begin to guide our decision making and the everyday steps that we take.
That's an awesome way of putting it. It's a change in perspective. It's not just having the knowledge, but actually perceiving things differently. What do you guys love most about this work that you're doing?
That's a beautiful question. I would say for me, there is something, and I'm even touching my heart as I say it, there is something absolutely primal and in my own heart that connects in this work. And I even feel tears rising, you know, experiencing that interconnection with others in a way that I know that part of my own growth and transformation is influencing the larger consciousness of the planet and vice versa. Yeah. And seeing that in people's eyes, noticing it in their countenance, you know, seeing it in their bodies brings me a tremendous amount of joy. But I would also say, I know I'm here at this time in this place in this world to do this work. And there's an internal drive that is very intentional and purposeful and even feels a bit transcendent. And so I actually can't imagine doing anything else. And that also, you know, creates an internal motivation, but a heartfelt love for the work.
Awesome. What about you, Anne-Marie? Same thing?
Well, I mean, it's so beautifully said, but it's coming from Annie's voice and vocalization. So if I was to feel into it fresh for myself in this moment, I've always been fascinated by what creates change, but not change that is just the simple kind of transformation from one thing to another, but actually allows us to live life in a different way. And the way that it feels to me is like taking something gray and bringing color and life to it in a way where the world becomes magical, it becomes rich, it becomes divinely orchestrated and connected beyond what my mind could conceive. It's a place where signs and synchronicities, the place of the dream world, is as alive as my waking world. And so to be able to actually be, and I would say a healer, not in the way that we typically understand it, but one who actually walks in that space feels like the greatest gift to me. And if you were to say, is there anything else, Anne-Marie, that you could imagine doing? I literally don't know what I would do. And I would say also, it doesn't even matter what I do, for it is actually about a way of being in the world. So it isn't what my ego would construct as this is what I'm doing. Like I could just be gardening in my backyard and holding that vibrational interconnected space. We could be having a conversation. I could be working at the local grocery store. And if I am actually holding this kind of space, this is the transformational vibration in the world. And can you feel it? It actually gives me chills that as more of us actually understand that it isn't what we do, it's how we are in the world that makes a difference. And there is something about it that is both magnetic and it actually is caught in the landscapes around us. It will be the thing that begins to reverberate. One of us who does it begins to influence five of us, begins to influence 500 of us, and then there will be no other way of being in the world but that way. And that truly is the place of balance, right? Not just balance in our lives, but balance in this world that we live in. Again, not that we won't suffer, not that there won't be challenges that we face, but that we're holding it in a different way and from a different space. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. I love that. What's the first step for someone listening and is really resonating with what you guys are saying and would like to find out more, maybe work with you? What's the first step?
Well, Bev, you already were our great modeler because you took the first step. So we're just going to point it back to you, which is on our homepage, we have our spiritual states quiz, which is a great way to start out with us. And you'll get to know what your most likely, what your primary spiritual state type is, you know, that primary state that you lead with when you consider spirituality in your life and in the world. And then from there, we do have a number of courses and resources and materials. Many of them are free and some of them are low cost. But that's another way to start to get to know a bit more about the spiritual state model. And then Anne-Marie and I are always offering live calls, and many of them are for free because we want people to take advantage of just starting to get to know us, our vibration, our energy, our work, what it means. You already noted that some of these words that we throw around have many different meanings, and they don't always make sense the first time, and a lot of them are experiential. So we welcome people to journey with us for a season of time and really get to know their fit and how they belong with us, because we do have a rich community of really deep and soulful spiritual seekers.
Awesome.
And I might just add, yep, you can, you know, it's starting where you're at, and there is no right place to begin. And just to say, you can find us at Calm and Awakening, kind of, you know, look at our website, get to know us. We do have some in-person retreats. There's nothing like an experience to begin to help to solidify what's rising within us. But I would just offer that often there's a call. There's something that's beckoning to each one of us that is trying to get our attention. And even just listening to this podcast may be the thing that starts to ring that bell. And I would just say, you know, start to get curious. It can become an awakening. There might be something else that's your starting point, but use it to pay attention and to know that there is something larger that begins to start to guide and to move us. And I would just say to anybody who's interested, just start noticing and pay attention. And if it feels like Calm and Awakening is the right first step, we would absolutely welcome you into our community. And we're always wanting to train people to feel for rightness. And so notice what's leading you, take that step, listen in, and let that be the guidance that begins to lead you forward.
That's an awesome message. I was just going to ask you if you had any final words, but those are great. But if you have any other final words for the audience.
The words I hear to offer are that, you know, we lead also from our own life experiences. And this was a way of going back to the idea of perfection. I think people will experience Common Awakening and our work as, again, being very authentic and down to earth and real and soulful, and that we don't have it all put together, but we also lead both from our professional and personal sort of acumen, and we lead transparently. And so, again, as Anne-Marie said, this really is an invitation to pay attention and to start there and to notice what is already beckoning to you, the signs and symbols that have already dotted your path, and what might be your next step. And our door is open, and we welcome anyone to join us.
Awesome. Annie and Marie, thank you so much for being here. It's been a fabulous conversation. I really appreciate you both.
Thank you.